Before we get to talking about you and the France and the Leafs and everything, as Berkey mentioned off the top, the hockey world lost a giant yesterday as Dale Hawerchuk passes away at the age of 57. You've coached against him in the OHL before, two head coaches. I'm sure you've crossed paths a couple of different times. You have a thought or two on Dale Hawerchuk?
Yeah, you know, first of all, I just my thoughts go out to obviously his family and those that were closest to him. He obviously, in a number of different ways, had a profound impact on the game of hockey. And I know as far as coaching in junior hockey, he set the bar as high as possible for the rest of us, not just in development of players, but also how he treats people. And the one Dale Hawerchuk story I do have, I was playing at Acadia University in 2006, and we had a NHL Legends game against a group of NHL Legends, and Dale was in that game. And, you know, we as players, obviously, you're 20 years old or 21 years old, and you're feeling pretty good about yourself, thinking you're playing, you know, a few older NHL Legends. And we quickly were humbled. At Dale, I think probably at the age of 42 or early 40s anyways at that stage, and we were quickly humbled by Dale's ability and skill level out there, and we quickly realized we might want to turn it on a little bit. So that's my one of many probably humbling stories about Dale, but I think that's a good memory for me looking back at it.
Just a wonderful man, everyone, and it's one the one thing that we're all hearing now over the past 24 hours are great stories about Dale Hawerchuk coming out, and yours is a great story as well, about someone who's gone back to Kingston. Last time you were there, had much success, developed a lot of headline hockey players, Warren Fogel certainly being one of them. Now back to Kingston, where you shepherd players like Shane Wright, which is a name that if hockey fans haven't heard of already, they will very soon. Why the decision to go back to OHL Kingston? Dual portfolio, we should mention, coach and GM.
Well, I think anytime you're, I guess, a young guy in any profession for that matter, you're constantly trying to evaluate what's best for your career. And ultimately, I really enjoyed the last 3 years as an assistant coach in the National Hockey League, but just felt, based on my own aspirations to become a head coach someday, that I needed to take this step, you know, going back to junior to prove, I guess, what I'm, you know, capable of doing as a head coach and to gain some more experience in that matter. Obviously, it isn't an easy decision, especially to leave a historic franchise like the Maple Leafs to do so. I think for my own career and my own development, I just thought at the age I'm at, it was the right move.
Berkey.
Hey, Paul, thanks for doing this, and congratulations on your new appointment, and best of luck.
Thank you.
Thanks for your contributions here. My question would be, before we come back, and we'll talk Kingston a little bit later, any surprises in your mind so far in the playoffs in the first round?
No, not really. I think it just shows, you know, that, and we all talked about this leading up to this event, where the margin between different teams is so small at the NHL level, and the differences in a series and obviously within a game, as we saw in our first round, are so small. And I think it just shows the parity amongst the teams in the NHL and how reality is in any given series, you know, anyone can beat anybody.
Paul, thanks for joining us today here. My question is just about your experience. So you spent 3 years as an assistant coach in the NHL now and head back to Kingston. What an unbelievable learning experience it must have been with two staffs and all that there is to take in. How do you feel you're different? What will you take with you from your NHL time going back to the OHL now after your experience in the NHL?
Yeah, I probably couldn't have been any luckier, to be honest with you, just in the two organizations. I think I crossed paths with, obviously, worked for three different head coaches, you know, and Bob Bootner, Mike Babcock, and then obviously Sheldon recently, but also the two assistants that I work with, and Jack Capuano and Dave Haxtell, both had extended experience as a head coach. So I probably couldn't have worked for any better group of people over the 3 years, and to see how they handle the day-to-day operations. Coaching at that level was a great experience for me to see. I think the things that I take back, obviously important at the NHL level, is the composure element that you have, just being on an NHL bench, and the experience of gaining that. And then as well, just really reemphasize the importance of development. I think you're seeing that even at the NHL level, just the importance of good habits, how important fundamentals are, even at the NHL level for that matter. I mean, ultimately, it's a copycat league in a lot of ways. Teams have very similar systems, but the bottom line is the habits and the fundamentals that teams have within their system is what separates them. And so for me going back, obviously we're going to put a huge emphasis at the junior level on development and working on those fundamentals on a daily basis to hopefully separate ourselves.
We all know, and with Paul McFarland, head coach, GM of the Kingston Frontenacs, former assistant coach of the Maple Leafs, we all know Toronto can be one of, if not the most challenging workplace to work in the entire NHL. And when it ends in the playoffs, there's a lot of finger pointing, there's a lot of outrage, there's a lot of anger, and a lot of it usually misdirected. A lot of it ends up on the players and the big names as well. Of the big names on the Toronto Maple Leafs, whether it's Matthews or Marner, Tavares, Nylander, you know, we don't get to see everything, and you did. You know, what don't we know about some of the headline players on the Toronto Maple Leafs that we probably should?
Well, I think just, you know, the bottom line is, especially with the top guys in Toronto, the thing that stands out for me in my year there is just how much they care and the work that those guys put in, especially you know, in these circumstances, with the pause in the season over the course of phase two that we went through with the NHL protocol, and phase three for that matter, just to get prepared. Obviously we would have liked it to have been longer than five games, but I think it's an exceptional group of people, and they really are dedicated to their craft. And obviously, like you talked about, Jeff, it's not easy you know, necessarily sometimes facing that criticism, but I think it comes with the territory of playing in such a great market like Toronto. And these are only things that are going to help them continue to get better and grow. And there was an impressive group just to see their level of care and dedication to their own game. And I think that's only going to help bode well for them going forward.
Berkey.
So you're going to go from charter aircrafts on Air Canada jets to Greyhound buses again.
Yep.
That's one adjustment. Were you on the Zoom call I did with the coaches a couple weeks ago?
No, I wasn't.
Okay. No. So the Coaches Association asked me to talk to coaches about how to interview and how to get a job. And one of the things was, it really helps if you've got assistant coaching experience in the NHL and head coaching at another level. So I agree with you as far as a career path. This makes sense to me. Tell us about your squad. How are you going to be?
We got a young team. I think obviously everyone talks about Shane, but we have a few other players in Zade Wisdom and Martin Kromiak that are up for the draft this year. We had another top five pick in Paul Lewinsky in the last OHL draft. I think it's a young group, but obviously it's really encouraging with some of the talent of our young players that we do have. And you know, ultimately we want to build a program. You know, talent's great, and obviously that's what we as a staff want to draft as much talent as we can possible, but we need to make sure that like I said, that we build the right culture and really put emphasis on development with this group so they can grow to what their potential is. But I'm really encouraged. I think in the meetings that I've had with our players, be it through Zoom or FaceTime, they're all obviously excited to get things going like the rest of the hockey world. They're dying to play, get on the ice back together, but hopefully sooner rather than later we can make that happen.
Paul, when I was with the Marlies there and talking with A.J. McLean about running the power play, we used to have the debate of, would you rather have a ton of skilled players who could do a lot of creative things or a bunch of players who actually did what you asked them to do within the structure of your power play? I know you spent time on the Toronto Maple Leafs power play. What was it like having all that talent and trying to find ways to get them to use that creativity while also trying to have them follow some sort of structure?
Yeah, I think as a coach, my own 2 cents on it would be that you always want the talent. And the challenge of coaching the best players and trying to put them in the best spots that can hopefully allow them to have success. It's easier, obviously, to coach guys that, you know, do everything by the book. But the reality is you need game breakers, and you need guys that can maybe think outside the box and be creative and ad lib for that matter. So I think, you know, working in Toronto was a great experience for me. I think no different than Florida. The interesting thing with running a power play in the NHL is every team is different. Every team, the way their setup works, what suits best for the individual player's strengths, trying to put them in spots where they obviously can have success can be different. And that was a great learning, you know, curve for me, you know, coming from Florida, where we had a lot of success the year before in that area. Obviously, coming to a new team, you're learning about their strengths, and you see it on video, but to live it obviously changes your opinion as time goes on where they need to get better, but also really where they're very effective. So it was a great challenge to have, but I take the talent every time and try to make it work.
Last one here, and Paul, we thank you for your time. I want to stick with the power play because you ran really effective power plays in a couple of NHL locales here. How different was your approach with Florida than Toronto? What did you do different?
Well, I think the biggest changes are a lot of it comes from within your entries, just based on the skill set of the players that you have. And you know, having both obviously Mitch and Maddie on the entries, they're two very effective guys that way. And so trying to put them in situations that make them feel comfortable on the breakout is an important piece in Toronto. And then something we didn't really use, to be honest, in Florida, just because of the way players shoot. Barkov was the net front guy when I was in Florida, primarily used as a screen, and or him and a Huberto would flip spots. But obviously, based on Toronto's skill set, with having Nylander play in that spot, being a right shot, you know, available for a guy like Mitch, we used the goal line a little bit more than we did in Florida. Just, you know, having a few more low plays out of their back door into the middle bumper. So that's just one adjustment, you know, that we would have made in Toronto that I wouldn't have used in Florida.